Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's how we do it every day. Little earth, wind, and fire. Always good for your soul. The Lord knows that these days, the way things are going, we need a little soul food, right? Little earth, wind, and fire, we give it to you. Every single night, the Holland Capitis Fan Hotline brings our good friend, Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette, who covers the Steelers. And, Brian, what do you make of the Bud Dupree news, or, depending on how you look at it, non-news?
Yeah, pretty much what I expected today, Paul. I mean, I think if the Steelers were – taking some truth serum and really, you know, said straight up how they feel, Bud was one of the guys who was maybe closer to just letting him walk in free agency than actually coming to the table and negotiating a long-term deal with him for a number of reasons. You've got a lot of other guys that you got to take care of on this team, rising stars on the defense specifically, or maybe some aging veterans like someone like Cam Hayward. But you know, I don't know if the Steelers front office has a number in their head of, hey, we can take care of this many guys with mega deals over the next couple years. But if they do, I can't imagine that Bud was really at the top of the list. And I know Kevin Colbert has said all the right things publicly since the end of last season, and so has Mike Tomlin, about making it a priority to keep Bud. But I think this was pretty much the most logical way for this to go for the Steelers and for Bud, the one-year franchise tag. See what he does on this, and then go from there.
Do you think there's a chance they could tag him again?
I think there would have to be like a really small window of production for him to hit this year for that to happen. I think it would have to be probably somewhere in between the first three disappointing years of his career and then the double-digit sack campaign that he turned in last year in his fifth season breaking out, because if he does more than that, Paul, like, yes, you would obviously want to keep him around if you're the Steelers, because that would mean that he probably made the Pro Bowl, maybe even All-Pro, and it was super productive for another good defense. But that's a double-edged sword, because that means that other teams, there's 31 other franchises that would also be willing to pay him big bucks if he goes out and does that. So I almost think it would have to be somewhere in the middle. The defense plays well, and you don't feel great about any of the guys behind him. But even if all that happened, I still think there's a pretty slim chance that they would want to pay him even more to come back on a second consecutive franchise tag. It just doesn't happen very often, and we saw that the Steelers tried to make it happen with Le'Veon Bell, and he was not he wasn't vibing with that idea.
Not at all. I mean, it obviously was a big, big problem when it comes to that. What do you make of what the Titans did with Derrick Henry? That's was surprising to me.
Yeah, I get it, but I'm just one of those people who I don't think you ever want to pay like that for a running back. And I guess what they ended up hammering out with him is they're going to pay him a little bit more than the tag would be for him over the next 4 years. So maybe you justify that if you truly believe he's one of the two or three best backs in the league. But I just think that's a position where you can always find either the next young up-and-coming guy, draft a rookie in the middle rounds who can flash for you, or you look at what the Niners did last year en route to a Super Bowl, and you grab guys off the scrap heap. So It's not what I would do if I were a GM, although I do like the player a lot. I think Derrick Henry's a beast, and if you're the Titans, you probably see a guy who's finally starting to sort of come into his own and really dominate at that position in the NFL, and based on the way that he carried your offense deep into the postseason last year, you don't want to let someone like that leave after this year.
Right, but, you know, I'm like you. I think, you know, paying a running back that much money, that's a really risky proposition. And I thought that the NFL was sort of moving away from that.
Yeah, I did too. So they're going to be the exception to the rule in this regard, and so is Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott as well, a guy that kind of pulled the Le'Veon Bell page out of the playbook and said he was willing to hold out if the Cowboys didn't reward him, and they did reward him. So that's always interesting to look at what teams are doing at that position. I think McCaffrey, even more so than those other two guys, Zeke and Derrick Henry, he's a little more versatile, better pass catcher out of the backfield, so maybe you justify that huge deal a little more. But it was, I guess, maybe a good offseason to not have a ton of guys that you need to make work long-term, sort of like the Steelers. I mean, we'll see what happens with the Cam Hayward situation, but I don't think that anybody really thought it would have been a wise move to figure something out with Bud Dupree beyond 2020. I mean, there were 14 guys, Paul, who got the franchise tag this year from their respective teams, and you could probably argue that Bud is has the least amount of success on his resume of those 14. So it makes sense for the Steelers to try to keep a key part of this defense intact with no obvious successor to him. But I also think it makes sense to just do this one-year deal and hope that he can be good enough for this defense that everything will click into place and you'll strike while the iron is still hot with Ben Roethlisberger healthy at quarterback.
In terms of deals, is Cam Hayward next?
I think so, and I don't have any inside information on this, but I wonder if just by the optics of it, if the Steelers thought, hey, let's not take care of Cam when in theory we could still be negotiating with Bud, or we at least aren't past the deadline to do something with Bud, because you got a guy playing on the franchise tag. I mean, yes, it's beneficial for the player in the short term because he makes a ton of money, but let's be honest, it's beneficial for the franchise, hence the name. So I think you want to keep a guy happy when he's playing on one of those one-year deals, and why risk Bud or his agent being a little bit miffed that, hey, they're doing a long-term deal with another guy on this defense when they could still be doing a deal with us. So maybe now that this deadline has come and gone, things will heat up somewhat on the Cam Hayward front.
Yeah, you would hope. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that you got to do is, if you're the Steelers, that I would say he's got to be a priority at some point. I mean, I just don't know how you can replace what he does.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's also the leadership aspect that he brings as well. I mean, I think next offseason you're going to have a couple more guys that you got to make something happen for, and unless they feel really differently than the rest of the world seems to about a guy like T.J. Watt, obviously he's going to be due. Who knows where we're going to be sitting on the matter of Juju Smith-Schuster a year from now. Maybe he was great in 2020. Maybe he stunk in 2020, or maybe they didn't even play football in 2020. Who knows? So they're going to have some difficult decisions ahead. But I still think Cam Hayward's a pretty easy decision as long as the capologist there can figure out a way to make it work year over year. And I think they will be able to, because it's not like he's getting paid pennies right now. I mean, you'll have to give him a raise, but he's already a guy that's a pretty significant portion of the cap.
Brian, million-dollar question that I don't know anyone really has the answer to, but I'm going to ask you. Why in the hell are we this close to training camp and the NFL and NFLPA are basically sort of just starting, really, on the tough part of negotiations? Shouldn't this have been done about 2 or 3 months ago?
The only guess that I have on that, Paul, is all the concerned parties in this case were just assuming back in March, even April, that coronavirus is going to die out in the summer. Everything's going to be looking a lot better a few months from now. We're not going to have to worry about any of these major concerns about fans and possibly even the safety of playing. And yet here we are, and it would seem that the experts on this matter, the numbers, the science, the data, all say this very much is still a concern. And now it's going to be up to both the NFLPA and the league to figure out just how much of a concern and what they're going to do about it. But, yeah, like you said, we are running out of time. I hope that that cooler heads will prevail here and that maybe they're just, you know, playing the game, doing what they have to do behind the scenes, leaking certain things so that they can eventually meet in the middle and compromise on a way to make this season happen.
Right. I mean, I think some of the things that the NFLPA is saying, you know, it just sounds like some of it is negotiation ploy, right? I mean, some of it doesn't seem all that realistic.
It could be, or it could be that they underestimated the likelihood that there's going to be some individual decisions about guys who don't feel comfortable or don't feel safe or simply want to use COVID-19 as a reason to opt out of the season that maybe they didn't anticipate a few months ago. I mean, you're seeing it in other sports too. Maybe they're seeing guys opt out of the MLB season, seeing guys opt out of the NHL season, NBA, or seeing women opt out of the WNBA season now, which has become a major story generating headlines. And they're sitting back thinking, all right, we do have to do, you know, what's best and what our guys want. So, you know, I guess we'll find out. There's been some Steelers more outspoken than others that this playing this contact sport is already a risk to begin with, and they're willing to kind of, you know, put that on the line to do this, but others it would seem not so much. And I guess we'll find out when push comes to shove whether they get complete buy-in from the union or if there will be a few stragglers who say, hey, I don't really want to do this.
If a WNBA player falls in the forest,
Elena Del Don, though, Paul, I mean, you've heard of her, right?
I've heard of them all. I coach girls basketball, obviously, I'm very much, and I used to work at the WNBA. I'm very much in tune with women's basketball, but I thought it was a funny line, that's all.
I just think her story's transcending general interest in the sport, I guess, is the best way to put it. How about that?
Right, of course. I mean, obviously, yes. And I might add, I think it's really kind of short-sighted that the medical people are saying she can't sit out or whatever, you know, whatever they're saying, that her condition of Lyme's disease. Listen, during a pandemic, you basically have to say you're going to approve any reason to sit out, right?
I would think so. And any NFL players who bring similar worries to the table, I think given the nature of their sport, especially if you are an offensive or defensive lineman, I don't see how you know, respected medical people could underestimate what might be in an individual's head in terms of what they are and are not willing to do to play this sport in 2020.
No, absolutely. Brian, I think the biggest thing with the NFL and the NFLPA is they've got to, like baseball, understand that they're better off working together than fighting against each other. Come to some agreement and figure it out, but boy, we're getting to the point where you're almost running out of time for camps to start on time, aren't you?
Yeah, and all I know is last week the idea, or maybe it was even the week before, I'm losing track of time at this point, but this idea of the players putting 35% of their salaries into escrow, I just know, Paul, I mean, I bought a house a couple years ago, refinanced my mortgage this year. I don't ever want to hear the term escrow again because I never understood it during that process. I'm not the brightest guy. I like to think I have a little bit of intelligence, but that is one term that just always eluded me, and I don't want it to have to rear its ugly head again during my day job covering the NFL. So no escrow is all that I ask.
No, well, again, I think that's the way it goes. That was a really kind of a dumb proposal. I think they floated out there. Brian, I appreciate you taking some time. And I hope that you enjoy your evening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. See you, Paul.
All right. That is that's Brian Batko, the Post-Gazette on Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.